Vivi.
Can you hear me? I'm on. Yes, okay. I guess they can hear me now. God bless you. Thank you, Sister Jen. You know, when you praise the Lord like you just did, you worshiping the Lord, do you know what the Word of God says? The 8th Psalm, verse 2, says that He inhabits the praises of His people. When you praised the Lord just now, you invited Him in. And the 22nd chapter, the 22nd Psalm in verse 3 says that, let's see, one says, let me see, what does it say? He inhabits the praises of His people. And the other one says that, Psalm 22, verse 3.
Yes, it says, but you are holy, enthroned in
the
praises of Israel.
He inhabits the praises of His people, and praise, that's what I got it backwards. It was verse 8 in chapter 22, verse 3. It says, that when. Okay, you guys, you may be seated. We'll pray in a moment. But as you praise the Lord, He inhabits the praises of His people.
Yes.
And when you praise Him, the Bible says that praise stills the enemy. Mm-hmm. It shuts him up. Mm-hmm. It stops him in his tracks.
Yeah.
You know, the reason I bring it up is because a lot of times we realize there's oppression going on around us, but we think the way to handle that is to scream at the devil. Devil this, you need to do this, get out of my, look. You want to get rid of the devil? You praise the Lord. That gets rid of the devil because he can't take the Word of God. He can't take the praises of God. He'll walk. You start praising the Lord, he's out the door. Trust me on that. Amen. And the reason I'm stumbling this morning is because I did not sleep last night. First, I drank some coffee and during the day, and I shouldn't have did that because the coffee kicks in as I start to go to sleep. And so I tossed and turned all night long, and she tossed and turned too, but she was sleeping and tossing and turned. I was awake. So the Lord gave me a message, don't sweat it because God's got it. Everybody has a Bible, raise up your Bible. Do you know that the Bible, first of all, let me tell you about the Word of God. The Word of God is the best-selling book ever. Every year, the Bible is, there's more Bibles sold than any other book in the world. It's the bestseller. Those books you have that you just held up is the longest love letter ever written. It's a love letter to you and me. 66 books, a love letter. And in that love letter, it gives you all that you need to know about who God is, why you've been created. Everything you need to know is there. There's a caveat, though. In that same book, you know, when you write a letter, a lot of times we do something at the end. We put what's called a postscript, P.S. Well, this P.S. is not at the end of the book. It's kind of scattered throughout the book. And what this book is, a book of life. But that caveat is that you are born in sin. The caveat is that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for that sin. So when you get to Romans in the New Testament, Romans 3:23 tells you something. It says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means you've missed the mark. If you were throwing a dart at the dartboard, you'll never hit it. You'll never hit that bullseye. But then when you get to the 6th chapter, it says that the wages of sin is death. There's a payment that has to be paid for sin. And the wages of that is death. So there's a price to be paid. Do you know what? Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And you know why? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to do. The first thing he says is to preach the good news. Preach the gospel. And check this out. If you want to hear good news, you got to go to the Word of God. If you listen to the news, you know as well as I do, there's no good news. It's all bad. And most of the news isn't even news now. It's commentary. But the Word of God is good news. So he says, preach the good news. The second thing is, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring sight to the blind, to open blinded eyes. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me preach deliverance to the captives. And the fourth thing he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring deliverance to the captives and to bring deliverance to those who are oppressed. And then finally, and this is the one I wanted to get to, because the first one says preach the gospel. This last one says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That part right there is misleading the way it's worded, because what it's saying is, it's talking about the year of Jubilee. That's the 50th year in the Jewish calendar, but every 50th year was called the year of Jubilee. And in the year of Jubilee, all debts were canceled. The land had to be laid to rest for 1 year. You couldn't plant, you couldn't harvest for 1 year. When you look at the first one, he says to preach the gospel. And you look at the last one, which says that all debts are canceled. Okay, let's look at that debt that's canceled. What debt are we concerned with? The first thing I said was what? The wages of sin is death. Jesus came to cancel that debt for you. How did he cancel that debt for you? By dying on the cross. He died on the cross for you and for me. And so, let's look at this lesson here. We're going to be looking for just a few minutes, as quickly as I can, because I'm so sleepy. Psalm 37. We're going to look at Psalm 37. And the title is, Don't Sweat It, Because God's Got It. When Jesus got ready to go to the cross, he said on that cross, and you know it as well as I do, the first thing he said when he got on that cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you know that as he was going up on that cross, you know, I always thought about, why was he beaten so badly? Why was he tortured? He died. We know he needed to die because he had to die for our sin. But why was he tortured? Because the Old Testament says what? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. His blood had to be shed first. So he was tortured. He was beaten. The blood was shed. The blood came streaming down, the song says. The book of Isaiah calls it stripes, because the blood made stripes down his back. The crown of thorns on his head made stripes coming down his face. With his stripes, we're healed. So what's the point here? The point is, we can't save ourselves. But God says what? Don't sweat it, because I got this. God's got it. Psalm 37. And when we think about it, we had a good power hour lesson this morning. We talked about this same thing. Amen. If you weren't there, you missed a good lesson. But we talked about how the times that we're living in, there's some stuff going on. It's really hard to understand without the Word of God. The Word of God gives you some insight that you wouldn't have otherwise. It lets us know that all this stuff, political and all the crazy stuff and the killings and the wars and the famines and the things that are going on, even in Africa. You have to look at it from a spiritual standpoint. If you don't look at it that way, guess what? You're going to be what this scripture we're going to be talking about is talking about you. Because it says, fret not. Don't fret this. And what we need in this time we live in is wisdom. We need the wisdom that only comes from God. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him do it. Ask of God, and he will give it to you. And he's not going to just give you a little bit. He'll give you more than enough. But then, if that's godly wisdom, then you go to chapter 3 in James, and it says there is another kind of wisdom. This is a worldly wisdom. He says it's worldly. He says worldly wisdom that does not come from above, but it's earthly. It's sensual, and it's demonic. That's where we go wrong. Even as saints, we're not looking at God's wisdom. We're looking at the world's wisdom. We're looking at the political situation. We're looking at whose side is on who's what. We're looking at what party are you in, or if you're not in my party. We're not supposed to be looking at that stuff, not us. The Bible says we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. We're not supposed to be concerning ourselves with this nonsense. We're supposed to look at it from God's point of view. God does not hate the other party that you hate. He hates their ideology, but Jesus died for them. Jesus died for the one you say you love. You don't say you love them. You say you might even say it, but you hate them. You might not say it, but you do. You do in your heart. And that's not the way God wants us to live. He wants us to see from his eyes. Those same people that are acting crazy are souls. They need your prayers. This is why the Word of God tells us to do what? Pray for those that have the rule over you. So we're going to look at some things about fretting. Fretting just kind of means worrying, but it's even more than that. I'm going to show you in a minute. So this same chapter, before we get started, is written probably to Solomon, his son, because Solomon, of all of David's sons, you know, David had, I don't know how many sons he had. He had 20 sons that we know of that are listed, but he had concubines. David had a lot of concubines. We look at Solomon, we say, well, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's way too many women. I'm sorry. That's just way too many. I got one. It's enough. She knows it. So David had all these women, but God told him that Solomon was going to rule. Solomon wasn't the oldest son. Usually it's the oldest that would take over. But so he's writing this probably to Solomon, and he's going to talk to Solomon about some things that we probably think about as well. And we kind of look at it when we look at the book of Job. We kind of looked at Job in power hour this morning. And the question is, why do the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper? And that's what he's going to be talking about, a little bit about that. All right, so let's look at that. Verse 1 says, this is 37, chapter 37 of the Psalm. Psalm 37, 1 through 11. I don't know if she's gonna, oh, there, okay, you got it up there. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So he's talking about the wicked, and he's giving us right away, right off the bat, what's going to happen to the wicked. So what is he saying? Don't worry about that they have everything you think you want. Don't let that get you upset. We're going to talk about what that word fret means, because it doesn't just mean worry. For they shall be soon cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. That's the key to your fretting, is trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord just means what? Faith. We're going to talk about faith too. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Verse 4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. Here we got do not fret a third time. It only causes harm. When we fret, we're not walking in faith. You can't fret and have faith at the same time. They don't go together. For evildoers shall be cut off. He says it again. Evildoers are going to have their day. Don't worry about them. Don't let them get you down. Don't let them get you upset. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. I'll stop there, and may the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Now I pray, Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is life to us. Your word is living, is powerful, is sharper than a two-edged sword. Your word is light to us. Your word lights our way. Your word gives us understanding. It gives us illumination. It gives us wisdom, and we thank you. As we learn your word, we are learning you, and we find we need you so bad today, God. In the times we live in, God, we need you so bad. And so, Father, you bless your word to the hearts of these, your people today, in the house and on the social media. God, bless your people everywhere in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we began this psalm, he started out with a negative, and it reminded you of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is all, you hear in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. They're all negative. And you hear this here with David. This is David speaking. He says, fret not. And so that word fret it comes from a Hebrew word, and the word really means to be angry, to be hot, to burn, to be heated up. And so David's message to his son, because his son was one day going to rule. And so he's letting him know it's best to be cool. Be cool and stay cool. And he must have known something, because Solomon was the only king out of all the tribes over all those years that had a peaceful reign. He's the only one that there was no war during his reign. He's telling them, be cool and keep cool. And we read it. We read the same thing in Ephesians 4:26. He says, be angry, but what? Don't sin. And that doesn't mean go. It doesn't just mean don't go and do stuff that's sinful. He's talking about the sin in your heart as well. Because we can sin in our heart. We can sit on our couch and we can hate. That's not good. Many of us are fretting. We're not, because the context of what he's talking about here, he's talking about evildoers that are rich. We don't have that problem so much in America, because everybody got so much. And even if you don't have money, you can get a credit card. You can get a brand new car on credit. So the context of what he's saying here is not that applicable to Americans because of the lifestyle we live here. But the idea of don't fret definitely applies, and especially we need to take and listen to what he's saying about not allowing yourself to go there. Fret not. Faith in God cancels out fretting. Hebrews 11:1 talks about faith. He says what? Faith, and we know how it's worded. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, people say this is the definition of faith. That's not a definition. It is a description of faith. But I'm going to give you the Pastor Warren version of that verse. Faith provides an assurance that gives us hope and confidence to trust in God for unseen or unrecognized outcomes. Let me say it again. And this is my own translation. This is the Pastor Jones translation. Faith provides an assurance that gives us hope and confidence to trust in God for unseen or unrecognized outcomes. Because we're looking forward. Faith looks forward. It doesn't focus on just what's going on right here. Faith says, I'm looking at what God is seeing. And God is always ahead of us. He's always in the future, even though he's right here with us now. We sing a song, before we sing that, we sing a song that says, I trust in God. As a matter of fact, Sister Jen, you know what song I'm talking about. He says, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who can never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it's what? Impossible to please God. You can't please God without faith. We have to walk by faith. We have to live by faith, which means just trust. That's all it really is saying. Matthew 17:20, Jesus is speaking and he talks about a mustard seed. He says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed and say to the mountain, go from here to go over there, it'll do it. It'll happen. It says, and it will move and nothing will be impossible for you. And we're not talking about literal mountains, obviously. But there are things in life that are very difficult for us. But if we trust God, if we have faith that God will handle it, we won't have to fret. That's the whole point of this. And the things about a mustard tree, look up a mustard tree, and you'll be surprised what a mustard tree can do. It's an interesting tree. It starts out very small seed. That thing can grow up to 20 feet. Birds can put their nests in those trees, how big they get. So, yes. So, verse 3 and 5, we're going to look at, we already read it. But what it's saying is trust in the Lord. And that says choose to do good. And look, we have to choose to do good before even a situation arises. You have to start out in the day and say, Lord, I need your direction today. I need your, the Bible says what? The steps of a what? Of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. So we have to start our morning off, or whenever your day starts, and say, Lord, help and order my steps and order my mind. Lord, help me to think ahead. Because trust me, in your day, you're going to go by people. People are going to come by you. You have a job to do. You have a job to do because what? We're living in a dark world. We're living in an evil world. We're living in a mean world. People need light. They need love. They need somebody to come along and acknowledge them. Some people never get hugged. You know I love to hug you. Everybody in here probably knows that. I love to hug. There are people that don't get touched. Nobody touches them. We're humans and we need that. And so somebody might be coming your way that just might need to pat them on the, you know, how you just shake the hand. People are broken. And we're the ones that have to show them that we can trust God. God can be trusted. So we have to choose to do good. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Not just think good, do good. We have to be doers of the word, not just what? Hearers. Then he says, then you will dwell in the land he gave, and you will feed on his faithfulness. Do you know God is faithful? How do I know? This, you know how I know he's faithful, because when I see the sunrise, do you know when that sun was told to rise today when he created everything? He said, let there be light. Every day since the first day when he said, and the evening and the morning were the first day, we've been having a sunrise. And every time I see that sunrise, I say, Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. And I thank you that all his creation, everything he's created, is obedient to his word. He said, I want you to do this until I tell you to stop. And so the sun just keep on coming up, keep on going down, keep coming up, keep going down. It's been doing it ever since he said do it. And it's going to keep doing it until he says stop. He's a faithful God. Yes, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us that he's so faithful. It says, trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. When you trust in the Lord with all your heart, what it's saying is you trust him everywhere you go. You trust him every time you go out. You trust him when you come in. You trust him at the store. You trust him on the job. You trust him when you're with your family. You trust him with strangers. You trust the Lord with all. That's what all mean. What does all mean in the Hebrew? What does it mean in the Greek? What does it mean in Spanish? Thank you. The song says, we come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. Why? He's never failed me yet. How many can raise your hand if you know that he's never failed you? Huh? Everybody knows that he's never failed. The song says he cannot fail. How can he fail when he knew the circumstance was coming way before you were even born? If he needed time to fix something, he had plenty of time. But he don't need time to fix anything. He already fixed. It's already done. So there are three things I want you to see. And then there's a fourth thing. Then the first one we just said, trust in the Lord. The second thing is delight in the Lord. That's verse 4. He says, delight thyself in the Lord. And what? He'll give you the desires of your heart. How do you delight in the Lord? This is things we do every, this is things we always do. With thankfulness. We delight in him when we're thankful to him. We listen to him when we pray. Prayer is a dialogue. Prayer is not a monologue. What am I saying? You don't pray and just talk to God and tell him what you want and tell him and then amen. No, you talk to him and then you listen. You talk some more and then you listen. When you have a, when this is the thing about God. He wants to be our friend. He's our father, but he wants to be our friend. He wants to sit and listen to what you have to say, that he's got stuff for you. He's got stuff he wants you to know. He's got stuff he wants you to hear from him. You got to hear his love for you. Every day you want to hear his love for you. You want to sense his presence with you every day. Listen to him. Third thing, listen to sound teaching. These are things that we delight in the Lord, and these are the things we do. Listen to teachers that know the word of God and listen, because you got to learn. This is how you grow. Study after you've heard the word. Study the word. Meditate on the word. What does that mean? Think about it. Some of the Psalms, you'll see the word Selah at the end of a certain section. That word Selah means think about this. Meditate on this. This is important. What did we do before I got up here? We sang praises and worship him. That's delighting in the Lord. You're showing him that you're serious. Meditate on him. Sing songs. Do you know what? When you get into a situation where your mind is overloaded and cluttered and you got frustration going on, guess what you need? You need to worship the Lord. You need to say, thank you, Lord. You need to say, Lord, I love you. We just heard why. Because he inhabits your praises. Sometimes you need his presence there, and he is always there, but sometimes you don't know it. Right. And so when you start to sing songs to the Lord, sing, the Bible says psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. When you start to do that, you'll start to find yourself into a state of calmness. You start to realize and start to see from God's perspective. Because God is looking down and he sees these problems ain't big to God. These things are nothing. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. The Bible says that. How many can say that they know that by experience? There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Raise your hand. Yeah, there's nothing too hard for him. So if you get into a crisis in your mind, sometimes it's right here. You need to let that thing go. But how do you do that? You don't know what to do. You pull in your hair. You don't know, how am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to get? Look, start praising the Lord. Start singing songs. We sing a lot of songs here. Some of these songs should be reminded when you go home. Some of the songs you should be thinking of. There's so many songs. Jennifer knows a lot of the songs. I know these songs. I know them, and I sing them all the time. My wife will tell you. My kids will tell you. They probably get sick of me because I'm all over the house singing. I got songs going all the time. When we play games at the table, I bring my boombox on the table, and I turn on my music, and I'm singing the whole time. I'm playing cards, and I'm singing. Nah, 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 nah. Yeah. And I can do it, too. That's the only time I can do two things at once. That's the only time. Sing songs to the Lord. Praising the Lord will get you out of that funk. It'll get your minds in a place where you can handle that situation. Love and serve other people. That's showing that you delight in the Lord. loving your enemies. That shows you delight in the Lord. Find somebody that's down and out. Give them some encouragement. Talk to them. That is delighting in the Lord. Here's the big one. Try to please him with every thought that you think in your head. Every thought that you think. Try to please him with what you think. Why? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. And then finally, God's love language is obedience. You want to show you that you delight in the Lord? Obey the Lord. What does that mean? Because Jesus said, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. That's his love language, is obedience. He says to do these things, do the things he said do. Be doers of the word, not hearers. Why? Because you deceive yourself when you just hear the word and you don't do the word. So, trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, and then he says in verse 5 and 6, commit your way to the Lord. Proverbs 14:12 says what? There is a way that seems right. How many know about that seeming right road? You ever been down that road? I've been down that road. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Because why? Because everybody else was doing it. Everybody else was going that way. Everybody else was drinking that drink, smoking that whatever that thing I smoked. I don't even know what they call it nowadays. It seemed right at the time because that's what my friends were doing. But the end thereof, it led me a wrong way and I got in plenty of trouble. But God. There's a way that seems right, but Jesus would come along and he would say, what? I am the way. They said, show us the way. How can we know the way when we don't even know where you're going? Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the way. You want to know the way? I'm the way. You want to get where you need to go? Follow me, because I'm the way. We have to follow him. So when you do those three things, when you trust the Lord, delight in the Lord, and commit your way to the Lord, he says in verse 7, now you get to what? Rest in him. You can rest now in the Lord. The title is Don't Sweat It Because God's Got It. You can rest in the Lord. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says the same thing. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest to your soul. And he said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Hebrews 4:9-11 says, so there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. And this is the part I want you to hear, verse 11. So let us do our best to enter into the rest. You have to do it. Enter into that rest. Well, how do you enter into the rest? I just got through telling you. You got to spend time with him. He is your rest. In his presence is what? Fullness of joy. And at his right hand, pleasures evermore. Spend time with him and you'll find rest to your soul. In his presence. So don't sweat it because God's got this. Moses found out. Moses and the children of Israel, they found out when they faced the Red Sea that God's got it. You don't have to sweat it. God's got it. He told them what? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God's got it. Elisha's servant, surrounded by Syrian army, he walks back in the house and says, hey, master, what are we going to do? We got an army surrounding us. Elisha wasn't sweating this. Elisha knew something he didn't know. Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. And when he opened his eyes, he found out what? God's got it. I don't have to sweat it. Jesus, when he was being arrested, Peter thought he needed to protect Jesus. He tried to slice the guy's head off and missed and hit the ear. Jesus picks the ear up, puts it back on, and he says, Peter, look, I don't need help here. He says, if I needed help, I could call 12 legions of angels. I don't need help here. I'm here. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And so Jesus didn't have to say, God's got it, because he was God. He said, I got it. I got this. Don't sweat it, because God's got it. This world is falling apart all around us. But we have to not do what the world is doing. Somebody said it this morning, how do we respond when these things happen? And a lot of what's going on in the church is we're failing in our responses. We're not doing what we're supposed to do. We're not loving the unlovable. Jesus went to people that nobody else would go to. Nobody would even touch them. Prostitutes, non-Jews, Syrophoenician woman, the Roman centurion. These people, the Romans didn't have nothing to do with these people. A Samaritan woman. These represent the people that we don't like. The people that we don't want to be a part of. We don't like them because of different things. We don't like the politics. We don't like the skin color. We don't like the language they speak. We don't like the food they eat. We don't like how they walk. We don't like the clothes they wear. Jesus was not like that. Jesus, he did just the opposite. He went to them. Because what? Because God is love. And if the one inside of us is God, then we should be doing what? Loving people. Loving the unlovable. Jesus tells his story, and he says when he couldn't fill his house, he says, go in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come. He says, bring in the lame. Bring me the maimed. Bring me the ones that nobody else will take. I want them in my house. I want to fill my Father's house. God's got this. But we have to do our part. Our part is obedience. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have what? Peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Jesus said we're going to have tribulation. What are we sweating this for? We act like some strange thing is going on when the world is in chaos. He said that in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome this. He says in John 14:27, says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not the peace of the world, because they're talking about peace now in political arenas. They're talking about we're going to do this because we want peace in this region. Look, I don't care what happens. There ain't going to be no peace all over the world. It's not going to happen. But there's a peace that we have that passes understanding. We can have peace in the midst of this world's chaos because God's got this. Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's got this. Don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. Amen. I'm done. God bless you. Amen. Amen. I started out so slow, my voice was cracking, and I was so tired. Now I can get ready to go home and sleep, I think. But you know what? Those of you that may have heard something that really caught your attention and you really, really feel like you want to give God a chance, what you may be going through something and you need prayer because you haven't found the answer, the solution to your problem, you haven't seen it come to pass yet. But what we're learning about God is we have to trust in the Lord and we have to learn to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, the scripture says, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. It's important to look at that expression of mounting up with the wings as eagles, because eagles are cold-blooded, man. It's so good to watch. It's fun to watch them. They're just them wings fly. You don't hardly even see them move. A lot of them, they don't even have to move the wings. They just kind of glide. You know what they're doing? They're gliding on top of the wind. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to float over the situations and circumstances. Just fly, just float over it. Because when we're looking at it from God's perspective, that's where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to see things from up above. We're not supposed to see things from down here. You want to know what it looks like to see things from down here? Look at the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes is not a spiritual book. It's a book about things from man's perspective. Well, that's not where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be up in heavenly places. The Bible says we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. And he says, set your mind, set your affection on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And when you seat yourself up there where he is, and you start to look at things down here from where he sits, this stuff don't look like it's so bad after all. Why? Because God's got it. And I don't have to sweat it. Amen. Let's stand and have prayer, word of prayer. Amen. Father, this